This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Amy Scott.
It's been 5 months since Hurricane Ian slammed into southwest Florida, ultimately killing more than 150 people and causing nearly $113 billion in damage. I first met Nina Migliaccio in early October at an emergency shelter in Venice, Florida, about a week after the hurricane. She had escaped her flooded and wind-battered house with her husband, Carl, and their chihuahua, Candy. And she was still shaken, thinking back on the night of the storm.
Oh, my God. I have chills.
Nina recalled the sound of the wind pounding against her living room window as she and Carl, both in their 70s, tried to brace it with their bodies.
Like, pop, 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 pop. So we try hold, because I think if this broke, we finish.
That window eventually did break, along with two others. Their garage door was damaged. Parts of the roof were torn off. When we talked, Nina didn't know when they'd be able to go home.
Because we cannot go back. You must have roof.
I was thinking about Nina because this week, the First Street Foundation, a nonprofit climate research group, warned that in the coming years, more people and properties will face damaging winds because of climate change. I called Nina the other day to see how she's doing now.
It's a slow process, very slow process.
5 months later, she's still waiting for workers to finish her new roof. Two broken windows have yet to be replaced, and she's fighting with her insurance company to get reimbursed for a new garage door.
If I have pocket money, I'd be doing so easy, but we don't have pocket money. Like, you know, we have living money, like more senior.
The First Street Foundation's models show that in the next 30 years, more than 13 million properties that aren't currently exposed to tropical cyclones will be at risk. Founder and CEO Matthew Eby says that's for two main reasons. Number one,
overall, hurricanes are becoming much more intense.
Warmer sea surface temperatures lead to higher wind speeds. And Eby says tropical cyclones will be more likely to become major hurricanes. Reason number two?
Hurricanes are actually latitudinally moving further up north.
Eby says that means places like Brooklyn, New York, and Newport News, Virginia, will see big increases in maximum wind speeds and wind damage. Florida remains the riskiest state, but Eby says hurricane danger will increase in northern cities like Jacksonville, while actually declining a bit in South Florida.
What you're seeing across the state overall is an increase from $13 billion to $14 billion in average annualized losses, even though things are going down in certain areas.
On the group's website, riskfactor.com, you can type in any address and check out your risk of flooding, wildfire, extreme heat, and now wind, and how much damage it might cause based on things like the type and age of your roof and your local building codes.
The main thing we want people to do is know that there's something you can do about this. You can buy the appropriate insurance coverage or do the appropriate resilience measures to harden your home.
The question is whether putting this information in people's hands will change where they live. Daryl Fairweather is chief economist at Redfin, which has incorporated flood data from Risk Factor in its real estate listings for a few years. Last fall, the company published research showing that flood information did have some effect on behavior.
People who were previously viewing extremely risky homes for flooding ended up buying homes with about half the risk that they originally were looking at.
Over time, she says information about climate risks will affect property values. Others are skeptical, though, pointing to research showing an increase in people moving to western cities facing drought and wildfire and to hurricane-prone Florida. Robert Hartwig is a professor of risk management and insurance at the University of South Carolina.
Even this avalanche of information is apparently having no effect whatsoever at slowing down building or migration within the United States to the most vulnerable areas of the country.
Hartwig says there are just too many incentives that keep people living in harm's way. like heavily subsidized insurance and government relief when disaster strikes. You can hear a lot more about that on our podcast, How We Survive. Season 2 is available on the platform of your choice.